Shalom, shalom, everyone. Welcome to Wisdom and Torah Ministries. This is Daniel McGurr. By now, hopefully most, if not all of you, are aware that Rico has now opened up his website to myself and to Ryan to come and teach and share with you some of the things that we have been learning and growing in pertaining to Yah's kingdom and all of the different elements pertaining to his covenant. I'm extremely thankful that Rico, who not only is a friend, but also has been a teacher to me and my family over the years, that he would give an opportunity like this for me to be able to come on here and partake of what he's doing here on his website. So I want you guys to know how much more so and how in awe I am right now of our Creator, and that he would open up a door and allow me to share his covenant and the message of his kingdom on a broader scale. It really is a tremendous responsibility when Abba begins to expand your borders and literally enable us to take his message of his kingdom to the corners of the earth. And I will forever be indebted to my King and for all that he has done to restore me, you know, in my house, so that we can come back into covenant with him and learn to be his servants. So the greatest desire that all of us should have right now is learning how to be the best servants to the King that we can be each and every day. To do this, we must always maintain a walk that is constantly progressing and moving forward. This is a consistent message that my wife Melly and I, we always try to emphasize to our two sons, you know, as well as those around us who are, that we were in contact with and that we fellowship with. And you know, not everybody's going to be on the same mile marker, and that's perfectly okay. The key is to be moving forward in the road, you know, and growing in the ways of the King and working towards his kingdom. And this is exactly what the focus is here and has always been at Wisdom and Torah. So hopefully by now you guys are beginning to see just how important this study of ancient Near Eastern covenant structure, the language, the different types of treaties, and all of the different areas that stem from these subjects. This area has literally turned my life upside down over the past few months. And then I've been completely transformed in my understanding of the scriptures, and it has totally intensified my reverence for who Abba Yah really is. I'm fully convinced that this area is the absolute backdrop to understanding the depths of covenant and the protocol in which the Creator of the universe intends for us to approach him and to fully understand. You got to remember that we're not trying to teach anything new, but we must absolutely understand the meaning and the depths of our covenant. And in order for us to do that, we have to go back and research the history, the culture, the language, and everything that accompanies the proper context, you know, during the time the scriptures were written. You know, one of the things I told my wife Enrico that I'm extremely stoked about is that any teachings that I share with you guys is that I don't have to worry about laying a foundation or making sure that I explain every detail that is being discussed, because, you know, Rico's already laid the foundation of so many teachings that you can always go back and revisit, you know, these teachings in any area to get the foundation related to the information that I or Ryan are sharing with you. Now, obviously, we're always going to lay out, you know, certain principles and things to remember as we go through all these teachings, but you guys already know as well as I do how much information and how many different teachings and that are all available to you and to me and to anybody who is part of this blog. So it really is a blessing that, you know, we don't have to worry about laying the foundation. And this is exactly what we are attempting to do right now. You know, Rico, myself, Ryan, I think there may be somebody else that's coming along on here with us. You know, even Victor, you know, we're trying to work as a team of vassals or servants to help build Yah's kingdom and not kingdoms unto ourselves. Right now, instead of partaking in all of the divisive issues within the Hebraic roots or Messianic community that we are not going to fix, the focus must, it absolutely has to be on the areas that unite, which are the Torah, Mashiach, and covenants. You know, if we focus on these three areas, I'm absolutely convinced that we cannot go wrong, and we will learn to be how to be united. You know, this is what it means to be Echad, you know, one people, one nation, one kingdom, seeking our suzerain king, the sovereign creator of the universe. So remember that, you know, in Rico's Acts chapter 2 teaching, he's already talked about, you know, the Yamot HaMashiach, which is the days of the Messiah, you know, the last 2,000 years, you know, from the time of his arrival. That's when the age began. That is where we are right now. And we are at the tail end of these 2,000 years. So I'm proposing to all of you who are listening that we have so much to learn in regards to our covenant with Yah. So we have to focus. We have to have the focus and determination to go back, to do the research, and to understand the context, and learn and seek what our roles are to be in the kingdom, and how we are to be, and how to be vassals and servants working towards the full restoration of Yah's kingdom, which will happen at the return of Mashiach. So I pray that everything I share with you, and you already should have known that I was going to say this, and you go back and look it up, check everything that I say, the same as you would for Rico or any other teacher. You know, we have to study to show ourselves approved, and we have to investigate this stuff. So don't take my word for it. I know some of this areas may seem to be dry and lengthy, but we got to do it. You know, in order to fully understand the context of the scriptures and every element of this covenant, we have to go back and do the research. So hopefully I'll be able to provide you guys with enough information from just today's teaching, and you'll be able to take it, investigate it on your own, and learn from it. And I also pray that, you know, I'll do a good job. And over the course of time, hopefully all of you will begin to see that my and my family's heart for Abba, our Creator, and for Yeshua, our Mashiach, it's all about Yah's message in the restoration of his kingdom. Amen? Okay. Now, in light of all that I just said, and in keeping with the backdrop of ancient Near Eastern covenant understanding, because really, once this is established as the backdrop, I promise you that every subject or area of the scriptures and the Siddur will revert back, you know, ultimately to this understanding with a light that, I'm telling you, will dramatically change your life as you know it. So with that, and with the Feast of Shavuot just a few days away, as I'm a few days away from today, which is the day that I'm recording this, we're gonna talk about Shavuot and as the Feast of Oaths, an in-depth understanding within the light of ancient Near Eastern covenant structure. Now, the PowerPoint is up there on the website for all of you guys to follow along. I can't tell you how many times I already amended this to add more and more information. It's crazy. I'm telling you, it's totally been blowing my mind. But there's so much understanding now just by investigating the feast, just the feast alone, and how many subjects can literally stem from just studying the feast now. I'm in total awe and amazement of how my faith has changed. So I'm hoping you guys are with me, and you're grasping, you know, how important this really is. So anyway, let's go ahead and begin with the PowerPoint, because we got a lot of slides and material to cover. So bear with me as far as how the quality is on the audio right now. I'm waiting on the better equipment to come. So I'm praying as I'm doing this is that the quality will be decent enough to where you guys are able to hear what's going on and to glean from this. So keep me in your prayers, and let me know what you guys think. And let's go ahead and start on the PowerPoint. Now, you remember what I said earlier is that we're not trying to teach anything new. We're trying to gain understanding of the areas that we haven't been, you know, able to tap into yet. So I'm really, really excited about all this, and I'm really hoping that everybody's going to share in the zeal, and that we all help to get the message of Yah's covenant out there to as many people who will listen. So, beginning with slide two, the topics that we're going to discuss, basically everything is stemmed from Exodus 19 through 24, which is obviously everybody knows is that these are the scriptures pertaining to the covenant that Yah made with Israel at Mount Sinai, once bringing Israel out of Mitzrayim. So these are going to be the main scriptures that we're talking about, obviously, because this is the first Shavuot. So we're not going to necessarily talk about most of the obvious things and scriptures pertaining to you know, how to keep Shavuot and when Shavuot is. These are things that you guys can find pretty much anywhere else, you know. But what we want to do is obviously link this with the light and understanding of ancient Near Eastern covenant structure. So that's the first thing is we're as we go through this, we'll begin to understand the meaning of an oath in the context of ancient Near East covenant structure and the language of the scripture. Number two, recognizing the oaths taken within the covenant at Sinai on Shavuot are the foundational bedrock of the Torah. Number three, identifying Shavuot as a continual annual remembrance of the ratification ceremony of the covenant at Sinai. And then lastly, we'll touch a little bit on the marriage covenant, renewed and restored through Mashiach. Now we move to slide three. Like I told you earlier, we're going to lay a few principles to back up and to lay somewhat, you know, some ideas and things that we need to remember pertaining to the topic that we're discussing. So these are the common names for the Feast of Shavuot. These are the ones that everybody always seems to make mention of or use as the names for the Feast of Shavuot. These are the most common names. Number one is Hag HaKetzir, which is known as the Festival of the Harvest, as found in Exodus 23:16. Second one is Yom HaBikurim, which is the Day of First Fruits, Numbers 28:26. Number three, obviously, is Hag HaShavuot, the Festival of Weeks, Deuteronomy 16:10. Number four, Zaman Matan Torateinu, the time of the giving of our Torah. This is where everything about Shavuot stems from, is it's known as the time of the giving of the Torah. You know, and this is also found, this name is found all throughout the prayers that they do for Shavuot from the Siddur, and that is done in synagogues every year. So, number five is Atzeret, which actually means refrain from work, and is found, you know, in the Mishnah Hagiga 9a. So these are the common names. Now, the less common name and the connection to Shavuot is it's not really talked about a whole lot, and it's called the Feast of Oaths. So it's kind of one of those things that when you do research on Shavuot and you begin to see what they're calling, you know, the feast, this is a name that's not really used a whole lot. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the etymology of the Hebrew word stemming from the word Shavuot to establish why it is that we're calling it the Feast of Oaths, just from, you know, the Hebrew grammar. So moving on to slide six, Shavuot comes from the word Shabuah, rendered as weeks. This is usually what the word Shabuah is rendered as, you know, as you go throughout the scriptures from the Hebrew. And if we look at the Brown Driver Briggs definition, is from H7620. And definition number one says seven, period of seven, days or years, heptad or week. I'm going to just basically touch on the ones that I've already highlighted in yellow for you so we can kind of move along, you know, through, so we don't have to go through all of this definition. I've highlighted where it says Feast of Weeks. And then if you look down at my highlighted yellow numbers down there, I've highlighted where it says a related word by the Brown Driver's Brig Strong's number, properly passive participle of H7650 as a denominative of H7651. Now, so this obviously leads us to investigate another root word. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and we're going to take a look at the H7650, where it leads us to the word Shabbat. And normally, this is rendered as the words for swear, for swore, or for oath. So that's where, if you look at 1B1, I have it highlighted where it says to swear, to take an oath, to cause to take an oath. So we're establishing why it is that Shavuot could mean oaths, and is why it is being called the Feast of Oaths. And the other reason I wanted to add the Strong's definition is because it gives some other interesting renditions of the definition. So one of the things that we're going to talk about later is, if you see where I have the arrow pointing, is I want you to take notice and put it in the back of your mind what is in parentheses where it says, as if by repeating a declaration seven times. I found something really, really amazing going through the Hebrew words for Shavuot and oath, and you're really, really going to like it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that towards the end of the PowerPoint, but let's go ahead and move on. So we can see by investigating just these three words, you know, in the Hebrew, stemming from Shavuot, we can now make the connection to it as the Feast of Oaths. So, now, this next slide is actually the first reference that I've found, which my wife found. She gave to me when I first found out that I was going to be teaching about Shavuot. You know, I came home and I told her, I said, look, I'm going to need your help. Anything that you come across that has to do with Shavuot, let me know what you find. So in light of everything that I've been studying for the last few months pertaining to ancient Near Eastern covenant structure and everything that ties in with it, you know, I come home and she had this book, the Book of Customs, which it's a complete handbook for the Jewish year, and it's by Scott Martin Kosofsky. And she hands me the book and she says, take a look at this. And what it actually said in there is what I have in this quote, where it says, the Book of Jubilees, an ancient text that survived in part in the Dead Sea Scrolls and in its entirety in the ancient Ethiopian language Ge'ez, gives an entirely different spin on Shavuot. The word Shavua, week, is a near homonym for the word for oath, Shavua. And the anonymous author of Jubilees says that Shavuot was, in fact, the Feast of Oaths. So that was, I mean, this is basically, you know, between this reference and everything else I've been studying that has totally turned my life upside down. You know, this was the foundation, you know, in the actual kickoff to how I was going to start this teaching for Shavuot. So it was really, really was a neat reference. So, you know, I like to kind of do things similar to how, you know, Rico and Ryan do, is actually give you additional resources for you to go back and check these things out for yourself. I'm not trying to give you any new material. These are from references that, you know, you can get from any library. Most of the material that I have and articles that I've been using, you can get them off of the internet. You know, Enrico, obviously, he's got all of his resources listed here on the blog, so you guys can get those, you know, anytime that you need them. So again, we're just trying to establish, you know, right at this point of the teaching, how it is that we come to know Shavuot as the Feast of Oaths. And this was one of the first other references that I found. So another article and a reference that I found, which I really, really suggest that you guys get this book. If you go on to HebrewBooks.org, they have thousands and thousands and thousands of Jewish Hebrew books and you know, and excellent resources for you for free for download. Everything is in a PDF format. You type in anything on their search engine pertaining to the scriptures or subject that you want, and you'll be amazed at how many different books come up. So I actually just got this resource yesterday. And it's from a book called The Complete Story of Shavuot by Nissan Mindel. And it was written in 1991. He's a rabbi that was from New York. And it's really is a neat read, you know, and it goes through and gives you all kinds of commentary on Shavuot, the story of Shavuot, and so on and so forth. And on page 72, I found it says, Shavuot means not only weeks, but also oaths. The name indicates the two oaths which Elohim and the Hebrew people exchanged upon the day of the giving of the Torah to remain faithful to each other forever. Now, obviously, we know that as we get further and further along in this teaching, but I mean, we all know already that, you know, Yah is always faithful, and he has kept his oath. It is Israel. It's been us that broke the oaths that we swore to keep, and eventually led to, you know, expulsion, and we're basically, you know, trying to learn how to become vassals and, you know, members of Yah's kingdom again, you know, through the restoration of what Yeshua has done for us, and how we can be restored, you know, through him into the kingdom. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, you know, as we go through here also. Okay, so we're on slide 12. What does swearing an oath mean in light of the ancient Near Eastern covenant structure and context? Okay, now, hopefully you guys have taken the time to go and listen to Rico's Yeshiva intro on ancient Near East covenant structure in the Bible. All the foundation principles are laid out there, you know, pertaining to everything that we're talking about as far as the introduction, you know, to understanding ancient covenant. I highly encourage all of you guys to go back, and if you haven't listened to it, even if you have listen to it again. I'm telling you, this material will never, ever, ever be exhausted. We will always constantly be referring back to, you know, the context of ancient Near Eastern covenant. Everything that you're going to read about in scriptures, the Siddur, your entire life will be turned upside down once you have this understanding, I promise you. So Exodus 19 through 24, all of the chapters pertaining to the Sinai covenant is set up as a suzerain vassal covenant treaty format. This was a typical format that, you know, all of the ancient Near Eastern countries knew, they had knowledge of, they all used it. You know, the description is a suzerain vassal treaty is a conditional covenant where a great king or a nation suzerain rules over a lesser servant king nation, whereas the vassal pledges or vows an oath of love, loyal allegiance to uphold all the commitments laid forth by the great king suzerain. While this was common knowledge in the ancient Near East, like I just said, within covenant making between nations, we can begin to see how much more depth a covenant kingdom has in the eyes of our Creator. So, a brief typical ancient Near Eastern suzerain vassal covenant recap, which again you can find this, you know, back in Rico's foundation intro that he's already laid out, but we're just going to lay out some of these principles again because of what we're dealing with. You can go through and you can read all these. I'm not going to go through most of these because we're going to highlight specifically number 7, which is pertaining to what we're talking about today. You know, the ratification ceremony with oaths and a sacrificial meal to show participation of those involved in the treaty. This is number 7, the 7th typical section of a Near Eastern treaty, and that's what we're mainly talking about today. The oath of compliance. This is from George Mendenhall's Ancient Israel's Faith and History. It's a description of the 6th typical section that he has in his book as far as common ancient Near Eastern treaty structure goes. And it says, the oath of compliance, a treaty is a text, but an oath is an actual mechanism whereby the text is ratified and brought to life, no longer just words in a document, but a functioning reality in the lives of actual people. With ample evidence of treaties concluding with rituals of compliance, usually spoken oaths, but sometimes physical gestures. In much the same way, treaties today are ratified by signatures and handshakes, activating the new relationships and its terms. It should not be surprising that the biblical story of the covenant at Mount Sinai reaches its climax with the escaped slaves pledging to abide by the covenant obligations, thereby defining and activating themselves as the people of Yah. See Exodus 24, verses 3 through 8. This is where it says, "And Moshe came and related to the people all the words of Yah and all the right rulings. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Yah has spoken, we shall do. And Moshe wrote down all the words of Yah and rose up early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, 12 standing columns for the 12 of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and slaughtered peace offerings of bulls to Yah. And Moshe took half of the blood and put it in the basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that Yah Adonai has spoken, we shall do and obey. And Moshe took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, see, the blood of the covenant which Yah has made with you concerning all these words." Well, we're going to talk about this a little bit later on too, because this is a very, very important and intrinsic set of scriptures that we need to elaborate more on. I think for right now, I'm going to go ahead and take a break from part one. The recorder that I'm using only records in 30-minute increments, so we're gonna come back for part two in just a moment. So stay tuned. Shalom. We'll talk to you in a few minutes.